Blog Talk Radio.
I was talking to my assistant a couple months back, and while we were talking about the obvious differences in men and women, I had to give up and say that men couldn't handle the period cycle that women go through. She counted and told me that men do have periods. They're called wars. Describe what happened here in the United States on Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. I was in New York when it was going down. My heart goes out to those in the aircraft, the buildings, the rescuers killed on the ground. As a person who has traveled across 40 countries in the world, I can attest to the fact that the common people on the earth have long suffered and swallowed the bullet of the greed of governmental rule and arrogance. Power is a funny thing when four of the few individuals that are selected to govern people, no matter where they're at on the earth, it makes manipulation a close cousin. Mad questions abound. Whoever the so-called hijackers of the planet is answered to, my question is, how come their superior didn't put their lives on the line? I don't buy religious martyrdom if the leader heads himself can't get in the same box. It's problematic when one is trained and taught to die for religious elevation, while the heads of that structure are rich as hell and don't share the wealth with their followers. On the other side, the United States is talking war, but who is actually going to fight those battles, and with whom? War is not a football game, y'all. Pushing the rest of these 50-plus white men, seek power and freedom will not be on the air or field. They will not be on the air or field. They're making definite decisions, and I have a problem with the arrogance of most governments, period. I have a problem with the arrogance of man, period. There's little any humility on both parts. Skeptical pendulum is swinging both ways as far as comfort are concerned. I have a problem with dragging innocent people into political high-level bullshit. There will be innocent people catching it bad across both waters, infested with a lethal combination of facts, attacks, myths, dogma, and order. I have a problem with America walking out and damn near sitting on the World Racism Conference in South Africa. I have issues with the United States talking cocky, considering while admitting themselves about the carrying out of assassination. I have a problem with heartless cats trained to fly planes in order to kill thousands of innocent people in the air or on the ground. I have a problem with some nations and its protectors, how they refuse to acknowledge their major contribution to this cycle of terror and greed. I have a problem that Americans consider it an over there issue, as if it was on another planet. I have a problem with America with 3Ks, this relentless hyping and macho ballroom tales of a beat you down pad. I don't have a problem with America can be. In New York, a place known for people not giving a damn about the next person, all of a sudden people are communicating with one another, regardless of background, unless the person has a Middle Eastern visual characteristic. And that's where America, that's where 3Ks, not America, spelled properly, three is an ugliness. Understand the difference, y'all. Twisted. Why everybody want to kill God? It's whack when people oblivious to the fact they're dragged into war and death. It's whack when cast all religion into the mix. It's whack that celebrations are taking place in streets of some nations. And just as terrible as some Texans shooting and burning a mosque in Abilene. Just as horrible the fact that Americans jumped into celebratory joy when two atomic bombs were dropped on Japan in 1945 and updated hate in 2001 about people calling people a background, dogs, documented. I could go on and on and on about the in and out and still continue terrorism, endorsed American. That's what 3K style was eloquently pointed out and covered by my man, Art McGee, the Black Radical Congress piece. Terror attacks, ignoring calls for reparations, only endorsing the path of slavery. KKK, COINTELPRO, Japanese World War II concentration camps, etc., etc., has been hosted here in the same land as the free everybody's talking about. When it all boils down to it, power has never been with the people. The people of the earth are still pawns in the game, while the foreign masters, the rulers of countries, corporations, giant and religious organizations, networks, their quest for individual money and power. These leaderships operate under the guise of In God We Trust, or even Allah Hu Akbar, where the action assumes the position of an act of God. It's not what you say you are, is what you prove you are. So avoid this latest rhetoric and arrogance that's woven with this twisted sense of God, while the everyday person is shook by a new existence in this old day, this century, this millennium. On the real, in all sense of humility, may God bless us all beyond the flag. Why y'all want to kill God? A twisted sense of God.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment in which you now live. And in the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, and in the name of our divine reminder, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet the listening audience and our esteemed panel with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam.
Yes, yes. All right, before I go any further, the first thing I want to do is be proper, and we're going to start with the newest member of our family, Sister Diana Richardson. Please present yourself, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, outside of being on Facebook, I'm a farmer, and I've been doing that for a long time. Not much to say about me, old country girl.
Yes, ma'am. That's beautiful. I mean, without phones, where would any of us be? We certainly wouldn't be doing no eating. So it's good to have you present on the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. Mm-hmm. Next, I would like to have our beloved sister, Diatoma Clarity. Please present yourself, sister.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Sister Janie X. Everybody know me online as Sister Diatoma Clarity, the goddess of wisdom. There's much to say about me. a lot of people just know me on Facebook, just helping to market and helping to get folks' business name out there. They have my spiritual opinions that I place on Facebook, and what I do in real life. I own a business called PA Solutions Personnel Services. It's a virtual PA Solutions personal assistance services, but it's more than just that. It helps people to just do everything that their business needs, from consulting to marketing to sales to web design to designs to everything, and that's basically the bulk of who I am. Thank you for having me again, brother.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And now,
yes, sir. Thank you.
Our protocol director, the illustrious Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad, front and center, MGP.
Assalamu alaikum, dear family. How is everyone?
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, all right. Everybody seemed to be a little shy tonight. Well, I'm not going to even bother to introduce myself. Of course, I am Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, Protocol Director for Nation Building Movement. And before you proceed, Brother Kareem, I would like to make a special announcement tonight. You know, Brother Kareem, I can never thank Allah enough for you and all that you do. You will always be my personal hero. This brother comes to my rescue day and night. And when I talk about someone being the perfect example of what an FOI is to represent, I can only think of my beloved brother, Brother Kareem. And Brother Kareem, I don't want you to think not for one moment that I take it for granted. You are truly a gift to me from Allah. So officially tonight, Brother Kareem, I crown you as Vice President of Nation Building Movement, brother, because of all of your hard work and your dedication. So Brother Kareem will be certainly involved in all of our decisions as we continue on this journey, as we try to, of course, always striving to improve. And Brother Kareem has always been there. He's on every show. He engineers. He sets up shows. He promotes. There's not anything he doesn't do. But most of all, he is a dear brother and friend. And I thank you, sir. And I am so honored to just have you a part of the network family. So thank you, Brother Kareem.
All praise is due to Allah. And thank you for allowing me to be a service, because at the end of the day, if we're not serving, then everything else is just useless. But thank you. All praise is due to Allah. I appreciate that. And I will strive to continue to be the best that I can be. And so, you know me, I'm sitting over here seeing my nose turn red. Y'all can't see that. You know, when I bless, my nose turn red. So, it's radio, not television, okay? All right. I want to bring on a dear brother of mine, scientist, brother, very astute. And when I say that about him because when I say he's a scientist, he's not only an individual that will talk about it, but he actually does what our principle here on Conscious Black Nation is about, is practical application. So without further ado, please, FYI, Brother Daniel, please introduce yourself, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ramadan Kareem. Mm-hmm. I'm so honored and privileged just to be on this show. I think foremost, I'd like to say about myself that I'm a student and striving to be a true definition of a servant and a brother, and those are the greatest titles that I can think of at this moment.
Yes.
So that's pretty much like that. That was the only title that I can really take pride in, was those titles, and through the agency of my beautiful wife.
Yes,
that she has stirred up the gifts that God has placed within me to really get things smoking. I would say that to any brothers, man. There's nothing like the MGT. And there's
that's
nothing
right.
Like a sister. If I could say this in a nutshell, you know, hidden in the word sister, you got the word stir. And it's something inside the sister. It's something that's hidden inside the sister that has the ability to stir up something inside of us.
Come on.
Inside the word brother, you got the word bra. Like soup.
Hmm.
And it's something in the sister that can stir up the bra within the brothers, if allowed, and it will keep our beans from burning or sticking. And that comes to my mind when I think upon the beauty of not only the MGT in general, but my wife in person. I mean, because she's appeared in the person of my wife, and it really stirs up things in myself that I didn't even realize that was in myself, or things that I saw in myself, but I kind of downplayed it to some degree because inside the cage, like the lion walking back and forth in the cage, that was hidden inside the mob structure, within my family structure. or within America, period. But I don't want to prolong the introduction, but if I was to say anything about myself, I would say a student and a brother and a servant.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah.
But thank you for the sisters.
Yes, sir. All right, we Blog Talk on Act Up. They hung up on one of our panelists, but we're going to bring them back in. And while we're waiting on, there we go, got them back, that's what I'm talking about. All right, tonight our topic is leave with your own mind. And the reason for that topic is the fact of it, all the things that have been taking place recently, most notably of late, the tragedy with Trayvon Martin, the travesty of George Zimmerman being released and not being held accountable. Like I said, that's most notably. But then you had Sean Bell. The continuous murder that we do upon one another in our own neighborhoods. The bottom line is that the blatant racism that is taking place throughout the country and really throughout the world, the fact that we as a people seem to be so dead that we just, like, we don't notice what's going on. I mean, we still got an attitude or a mindset, if I can say that, if you will, of, oh, it's just going to be all right. All we got to do is just keep praying, keep marching, keep sitting in, and keep accepting the madness that's coming from those that are in power, and then everything's just going to be all right because somehow it's just going to drop out of the sky and things are going to get fixed. When we live in a society that shows us that nothing gets done unless we put our efforts in. One of the things I want to say this is that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, you hear the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, he has said this in these words. These are his words. He said that if nothing else, the white man has proven that God is the man, or that man is God, because he don't sit around and wait on nothing to happen. He gets an idea, comes into his mind, and then he produces it. Now, our subject is taken from Message to the Black Man. And the section is starts on page 32. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this. The chapter is entitled First Love Yourself. He states, one of the gravest handicaps among the so-called Negroes is that there is no love for self, no love for his or her own kind. This not having love for self is the root cause of hate, dislike, disunity, disagreement, quarreling, betraying, stool pigeons, and fighting and killing one another. How can you be loved if you have not love for self and your own nation, and dislike being a member of your own? Then what nation will trust your love and membership? You say of yourself, I love everybody. This cannot be true. Love for self comes first. The Bible, the book that you claim to believe, says love is brotherhood. 1 Peter 2:17. Love one another, John 15:17. Love of self comes first. The one who loves everybody is the one who does not love anyone. Now, continuing on, because I want to lay, as always, you know, I don't waste no time, I lay a base for our discussion. And again, our discussion is on leave with your own mind. There's a reason for that. We're going to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 4. Is where it starts. He says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double how much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. From the Holy Quran, Sharif, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Shaitan of Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. This is Surah or Chapter 5, Ayat number 20, where it reads, and when Moses said to his people, O my people, remember the favor of Allah to you when he raised prophets among you and made you kings and gave you what he gave not to any other of the nations. Allah, surely Allah speaks the truth. And there's some other things that we're going to get into, but right now I want to really get started with this subject, leave with your own mind. And I want to start with you, Sister Diana. And the first question is this. How would you describe the mental state of the world and black people in particular?
I'll tell you what, the mental state of the world is not good right now, and black people is fearful. They don't want to admit that they're fearful, but they're afraid. They've been afraid of the white man for a long time. A lot of it's fear. And we're living in Babylon in Revelation right now. No joke. This is what I think. The world is in a bad shape. Financially, economically, physical, everything. And no, the white man is not above us. We put him above us.
Come on.
We need to take that power back.
That's right. Okay.
I mean, that's all I'm going to say right now until it's a little later.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. That's fine. All right, I'm gonna go to the queen, Queen Aziza.
Oh Lord, yes sir.
Yes, ma'am. How would you describe the mental state of the world and black people in particular at this point in time?
Whew. Well, as far as the mental state of the world, we are shaped in iniquity, and a lot of us are still there. We are in love with everything that is contrary to Allah, God. And so what we have to do when we start pursuing a cure for such a mental illness, we have to come first into the knowledge of self and second into, well, I'm sorry, first into the knowledge of God and second into the knowledge of self. Now, oftentimes they hear, especially us members of the Nation of Islam, say that we have to have knowledge of self, and we say it so much that it has become cliche, and a lot of people don't really know what that means. But just as God raised prophets from among us, we are, of course, an entity of God ourselves. And until we reconnect with that portion of God that is put in us, we don't know ourselves. So if you don't know yourself, there's no way you could possibly conduct yourself in a proper manner. And so when people pretty much conform to the way things are, that's because they have a lack of thrive. They have a lack of vision. They have a lack of desire for those things that please God, and they rather please a man, or they rather please a woman, or they rather please, you know, the policies of America than to stand up and fight for what they know in their heart is right. But it's so much easier. And, you know, why do we take the easy way out? Well, black people in particularly, since the time of slavery, feel a sense of entitlement. They feel a wrong. So they say slavery is wrong, and so we are entitled to all the free services and handouts that we can get. And they become comfortable with that because they don't feel like they need to work for anything because the ancestors have paid the dues. But we all have our cross to bear. So none of us in this day and this time, unless, of course, you've been into the prison industrial complex, have really lived the life of a slave. So when we say we were slaves, literally, we were not slaves. But what we have done, we have made our ancestors shame, because even as a slave, there was only two kinds of slaves. That's the house Negro and the field Negro. And the field Negro was always trying to figure out a way to get out, to get away. And so we are house Negroes, because we ain't trying to figure a way out. We're just trying to please master and stay in the house. So there's an illness there. But when we start to recognize self and recognize the value of self and recognize the value of one another and know the power of our unity, then we can begin a healing. And that's my comment, Brother Kareem. And thank you so much for putting me on the spot.
All praise be to Allah. Thank you for your answer. We appreciate that. All right. Mr. Diakoma.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am.
Am I answering the same question, beloved?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Absolutely. This is, you want to establish this base. You're answering the same question, and I'll repeat it. How would you describe the mental state of the world and black people in particular?
Well, the mental state of the world is just completely in utter chaos. We have lost the knowledge of self and civilization. We don't really understand where we're going, what we're doing. We're all just living day by day and hoping that it just one day we just wake up again and just figure it out. The black man of America. Unfortunately, we are at the worst, the bottom of the bottom, but we are told that we're going to be rise to the top. Now, we were given teachings from the Master Prophet Muhammad, who all praises are forever due, a little bit over 80 years now. And 80 years ago, he came and told us, black men and women, that we are God. We are God. Anything and everything we think about, we can create, we can generate, we can put into existence, into motion in the universe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the first law of the universe is motion, but after that, it has to have some kind of order. And unfortunately, we are the most disordered people in the universe at this current time. So we are the most sickest people on this planet Earth. But when we dig into our deep psyche, we understand that this was ingrained into our DNA, into our genetic code, into our genetic makeup. And now, I love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because now he's going into the DNA, the genetic makeup, how did God create devil? So within us, we are born to think against what God has set into motion. So unfortunately, we at this current state that we're trying to remove devil from every sense of a word, trying to just get rid of him on every level. And for every level, there's a different devil. So on every level. So right now, here it is. We are from slavery, a little bit over 150 plus years. And we was taken out. First, we was arrogant, okay, against the God himself. When we was kings and queens, we was arrogant. We wanted to rule. We wanted to be higher than the God. So God said, okay, I'm going to bring a people on this earth that's going to make you so humble that you won't submit so much
that you will never be this arrogant that you are again. So he brought us in and he beat us down to our lower state. Now our children, I'm gonna say that our children are running the earth and they running amok. They running it amok. And so now we, the parents, got to come back into the understanding of who we are. We were gods. We are asleep in this world right now. The gods that are asleep. So now we're trying to come back into a different mindset. And then in this coming into a different mindset, we hurting each other. We killing each other. We're not even listening, and we're not even trying to listen to the God that's trying to tell us, hey, it's time for change. So unfortunately, God got to come and punish the children of Israel, as it stated in the Bible and the Holy Quran, that he was going to punish us and keep us out of the promised land because we're scared of the giants that's in the promised land. He's going to keep us out of the promised land for 40 years, and then after that, we'll be able to go into our land. So now we at that critical moment where it's time to walk into our own. And a lot of us are still scared to even go into our own. Why is that? Do we not believe in what God promised us, or are we just that conditioned to just be against him that we don't even know where we're going or even understand where we're going? But that's my thought. We sick. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True that.
It's a book. And Brother Daniel, same question to you, brother.
Yes. For the state of the world and black people?
Yes, sir.
I think
mm-hmm.
I think the state I think of is frozen. The what state? I see we are the frozen chosen. And the enemy just got the temperature below 32 degrees, but and as we must up within ourselves to go to our people and build up these relationships with our people and really coming down off the minister, then we can come out of this frozen state and then we can create an environment to go to the water and to the highest ultimate state where we turn to steam. But it's going to take us to get to our people. But to answer that question, I see we're in a frozen state. And I see the state of the world. Answer that part of the question, I see it's a large matrix, a large womb. And you know, in the womb, up until the 6 months, everything is upside down. So you got the head and the roller is in the position of the foot, and the foot is in the position of the head. So we got, and our leaders inside the mosque, inside the church, inside the synagogue, you got 10%ers playing the role of 5%ers. So you got feet playing a role in a position of the head. And the head in the position of the foot. And I see inside the world where we know we've been taught about the 5%, 85%, and the 10%.
Yes,
well, that same percentage on the outside in the world, I see that as a macrocosm of the microcosm inside the church, mosque, synagogue, and politics. So I see that same 10%, 5%, 85% inside the mosque, inside the church, inside our organization. And I see the hope coming from our Caleb and Joshua generation, the hip-hop generation, the most powerful generation we've produced since slavery, who are not afraid of those giants that's occupying the promised land. And so the only hope that I see based off the scripture is that Caleb and Joshua, and they had to be taught and trained how to go in as spies among the promised land, how to go in to gather information. And to really do that Exodus program type work, to really get among our people to build up a spirit of influence so they can actually shine their light and be what they was born to be, to fulfill, so they don't fall into the shoes of the elders whom were destroyed off in the wilderness. But so what I see is inside the state of position of black people, it's just that we're just reaching, which is a beautiful position, we're reaching that 100% dissatisfaction that we ain't already got yet. That 100% dissatisfaction from looking at our organizations and seeing these 10%ers who are claiming the names, the titles, the labels of the freedom fighters, of the Moses and the Jesus and the Muhammad and the Minister Farrakhan, claiming the titles, but not even having a true desire to see the people free. Because we have a lot of, I see in our community, we have a lot of cage managers. And I use that word cage managers in reference to the problem book when it talks about the lion that's walking back and forth in the cage, looking for the door. And a lot of the mass of the people, the freedom fighters, are looking for the door, or the potential freedom fighters are looking for the door, a form of expression, looking for room of expression to get up out of the cage. And the dissatisfaction that we sense is going on, the frustration, the dissatisfaction, is that lion walking back and forth in the cage on all different dynamics of life. But you have people in positions that are cage managers, that have got positions or that inherited positions, that just took over positions that they didn't qualify themselves for those positions. That was a weakness. So they're cage managers. So I see a conflict going on in the world between the cage managers and those lions that's looking for the door. So I see this drama being played out on all different dynamics, within our own selves, within our families, within the organizations we're part of, and on the planet. And I see this stage that we're in, that as the minister is about to depart back to the Father, that we're in a beautiful time, because that's expedient that happens, so that the comforter comes out of us, comes to us and out of us, so that we could begin to act, as the book of Acts talk about, so we can stop lip professing, that we can start acting on a higher level, on a higher frequency, so we can be doing the works that the minister is doing.
Yes, sir.
So that's basically the state I see. So all the dissatisfaction is basically is a good thing. So the womb, before we can come out of that womb, when the head and the baby in the womb, when the head forges itself into the head position, as the minister profoundly broke down to us at one time, talked about that, but the first thing that comes out is blood comes out of the womb. And with the symbol of bloodshed. So we're at that point right now where our people are getting sick and tired of leaders who don't have no blueprint, no plan for our freedom, other than just pacifying us inside these different cages called the mosque, church, and synagogue and politics. So that's basically what I see. On that level.
Oh, yes, sir. All praise due to Allah. And if you all don't mind, I'm gonna take a question or a comment. Area code 813, your mic is live.
Oh, assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Well, alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is he. I heard my queen, Aziza. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, my dearest brother. How are you?
I'm fine, by Allah's grace. To be quite frank with you, dear brother, I was very intrigued by the theme that was advertised. I wanted to know more.
Yes, sir.
Of how, you know, of the context of the theme, what you were leading to or what direction you were going in with it, because I was very curious. I listened to the response to the question that you posed to your panelists, and please allow me to give the greetings to your esteemed panelists. Assalamu alaikum. And all of the answers, I think, were absolutely right on point. What caught my attention is the sister's statement in response to your question regarding power, regarding having to take our power back.
Yes, sir.
And she's absolutely right. The power now is ours. However, to get the power, there are conditions that must be satisfied. It is written in Scripture that there are two conspicuous ways. As Moses said, choose obedience to God and choose life, or choose disobedience and choose death. So the condition that must be satisfied that we may retrieve the power that was taken from us and also receive that power that was promised us is our obedience to God. You pose the question of the mental state of the world, and particularly the black people of the world. Well, the mental state of the world is stress. The whole world is straining and groaning under the waning power and oppressive power of white supremacy, which is dying a natural death. And as my brother Daniel, I think it was, that stated that there is 100% dissatisfaction, and the minister said the same thing. We have approached that time or arrived at that point where there is 100% dissatisfaction. And he said 100% dissatisfaction brings not just a national change or a global change. 100% dissatisfaction brings about a universal change. This is the time described in Scripture as the fullness of time. The fullness. And when you talk about the fullness of time, you're talking about that which is completely filled, containing all that can be held, filled to the utmost capacity, complete, entire, maximum, of maximum size, amount, extent, volume, etc. That is to say, scripturally, that all of what was prophesied of by the prophets from the very beginning has now been fulfilled. So the question is, in this time, which is the fullness of time, what is the event that's going to bring about that universal change out of that universal dissatisfaction? Well, according to the scripture, the event that brings about that universal change is the coming of the Mahdi, or the return of the Messiah, Christ, which in large part is one of the same. That one of whom the scripture says he will make all things new. It is that coming and arrival of the Messiah, the arrival of the Mahdi, that will bring about the initial steps of the universal change, and it's already happening. But the scripture says
he's already here.
That's right. He's already here. And that's the point. And that's what I heard my brother say, the cage managers. I love that reference, the cage managers, and taking it from the supreme wisdom with the lion in the cage. There are, in fact, cage managers that were put there to manage the lion's pace, to manage the lion's ability to find the door. You see? And when he finds the door, they're there to impede his ability to walk through it, even though with modern technology, his steps and his movement has accelerated to a large degree. However, even locating the door, one must go through it. So the scripture says, he came as a thief in the night, and as a thief comes under a disguise, as the scripture says, if we could recognize the thief or knew the thief when he came, then we wouldn't suffer the loss of our possessions. However, he comes as a thief in the night, and therein lies the difficulty, because the bold expression of his arrival and presence needs to be recognized. And how do we recognize that? There are those whom God has raised in the wilderness and were commanded to make a highway in the desert. That is to say, warn the people, inform the people, and reform the people, that the few that will be reformed, warned, and resurrected will serve as an avenue through which this Son of Man, this Messiah, this Mahdi can ride in on. So he's here. The question is, do we Muslims know that he's here? Do we recognize who he is? Do we Christians who have been waiting for 2,000 years for him, do we know how he looks? Could we recognize him? What about the Jews that are waiting for Elijah? Could we recognize him? And the overriding question is no, because ever since Satan has been on the planet, one of his priorities was to make sure that he would obscure the person and the reality of God. But he's here in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and the Mahdi of the Muslims. He's here. The question is, will we recognize him? And even after recognition, will we obey him?
You won't have a choice.
Well, you're right, sister. That's why we have to work so feverishly, because there really isn't a choice. But we don't want the people to suffer, even though the scripture says that we will suffer. Even those of us who may not necessarily deserve it. The Quran says, beware of a chastisement that does not encompass the evil or the unjust exclusively. We have family members that have yet to hear the word and yet to accept the word after hearing it. We have friends and relationships that have yet to hear the word or have heard the word and yet to accept it. And so Allah says in the Quran, seek not to hasten my command. And this is an admonishment, because as much as out of pain, we want to see the end of this thing. We want God to bring it on. Just bring it on. Kill them all. And as the minister said, well, those of us who talk like that, we are talking about ourselves. Because the Quran says, if Allah were to punish man for what he justifiably has earned, there would not be one left alive on the earth. So I think that those of us who are crying for the hastening of God's judgment and the destruction that is prophesied to come, those of us who are hastening it, I think maybe we better rethink it, because we may very well be included and be victimized by it. But it's going to happen. But we've got to work ever so hard, ever so feverishly, ever so tirelessly to get the word out. Remember that God said that he made us watchmen and watchwomen too. It doesn't say watchwomen, but when you say man, you're talking about women. Mm-hmm. Warn the wicked of their wicked ways. And if they do not change, they will die as a result of their wickedness. But if we warn them, then we have cleansed their blood from our hands. But if we warn not the wicked, and they die as a result of their iniquity, then we've got to bear the weight of that, because we've been raised as warners, watchmen, and watchwomen. We just really need to go to work. That's why I love these Blog Talk Radio programs, and they seem to be popping up all over the place. And you know, the social media is just fantastic. I know when they invented it, that they didn't think it was going to be used to disseminate the truth. As the minister is directing us to use it, but it's wonderful. I want to thank you, as I always do, Sister Queen Aziza, for this wonderful format and forum that you have provided so many of us. And I'm sure the minister appreciates it as well.
All praises due to Allah.
So,
thank you, sir.
Thank you for allowing me my response. Thank you so very much. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan
Thank you, brother. Thank you very, very much. Now, before I move to the next question, right in line with where we're at, this is from Message to the Black Man. I'm going to read two paragraphs. It's on page 226. And it's the chapter entitled Separate and Be Saved. Now, Elijah Muhammad states this: the unwillingness of the slaves to leave their master is due to their great love for the slave master. If America is unwilling to grant her 22 million ex-slaves, that was at the time of the writing, at this time we number 40 to 50 million, and that's an estimate, to go for self today, it is the same unwillingness of white America's forefathers in dealing with our parents less than 100 years ago. During the time of the Emancipation Proclamation, we were scattered to the winds without any knowledge or ability to undertake the responsibilities of a half freedom. Our fathers, lacking the skills and the training needed to provide for themselves, were forced to remain with the masters in order to receive even the barest necessities of life. Our former slave masters, knowing of our dependence upon them, maliciously and hatefully adopted attitudes and social and educational systems that have deprived us of the opportunity to become free and independent right up to the present day. That having been said, I'm going to come back to you, Super Diana. Again, second question is, what is the reason that we as a people, I'm talking about black folks now, I know it's there's an air of it throughout all the people, but right now dealing with us because charity does begin at home. What is the reason that we as a people have no love of self? How do you see that?
You know what? I'm not going to say we don't have love of self. I'm just saying we don't know how to love anymore in general.
Come on.
There's just too much pain in the black community. It hasn't always been this way. It's gotten this way. I'm gonna tell you what really got the black community was drugs. When the CIA brought drugs to the community, it killed it. It really did, because I live in Oklahoma. And I remember Greenwood. I wasn't born during the destruction of Greenwood, but even after the destruction of Greenwood, Greenwood was still Greenwood. It still had black business. We still had black movie theaters. We still had a black rolling skate rink. We had three black movie theaters. We had a black business, a hair company. There's black schools, black stores, black drug stores, black grocery stores, everything was black. Even right up until right up until 79. And what the destruction of that was urban renewal. We always been infiltrated as a people. Infiltrated, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Something was always in there to stop everything, bring everything to a halt. Urban renewal was one of them, because when urban renewal came, it blighted neighborhoods that wasn't blighted, and they still do that. It's going on in Detroit right now. There's homes that's boarded up that should be, they'd rather board it up, not give it to anybody. We're suffering a different type of persecution now. And I'm going to tell you, when people can't go after the oppressor, They turn on each other. When you can't hate and fight your oppressor, this is the same thing with Trayvon Martin. We don't go after the oppressor. We're too fearful to go after the oppressor. And for good reason. So, I mean, Nat Turner, I mean, yeah, he killed some white folks, but after Nat Turner, how many 100,000 blacks did they kill to put fear back in them because what Nat Turner did? That fear is still inbred in a lot of black people. They would rather smoke some weed than to do something.
Hey there.
You know, it's drugs. Drugs is our biggest problem. It's the biggest problem among black men and women. Drugs make you not raise your children properly. Your children are having sex way too young. Because mama drugged out, daddy drugged out, whoever daddy is. Everybody's on drugs. It didn't used to be that way. That's our problem. And someone said you could put a dump load truck of cocaine in my front yard, I wouldn't snort it. But you don't know what your kids would do or your wife would do. You can only talk for yourself. You can't talk for everybody in the community because you don't use drugs, but the next person next door to you use drugs, he's going to rob you blind. Maybe even take your life for the next fix. I can't say we actually hate. We're sick, yeah. We're mentally sick here in America. And it's not, I'm not going to say it's all our fault. We've been infiltrated. They have a patent and a blueprint on us. They know everything to do with us to keep us right under our feet. Under their feet. If we can love each other, they know how to come in and disrupt that. There's no organization that we got that they can't get in and change it and run it. There's no religion right now that we got that the white man is not running in some kind of way. And that's the truth. Like he said, the MACD already here. And if there was somebody that could identify him, you'd be on the CIA, FBI death list right there. You won't be walking these streets if you could. And he's not representing Muslim, I'm going to tell you that. I'm trying to stay out of trouble. He's not coming. MACD is not coming to represent a religion. The first Messiah didn't come to represent a religion. You know where he came from? He came to represent a people. Not a religion, a people. The MACD is representing God's people. The stink that is stinking up heaven is all these murders of black people. The Euro-Arabs right now is in Africa murdering black Muslims. We want to sing, we got Muslims want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Just like we got Christians want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Until we realize that the Euro man is our natural enemy, we're going to have problems. But the MACD ain't going to have that problem. He's not going to have our problem enemy. And because of that, we on the hot seat everywhere. Right here in the United States. In Northern Africa, we on the hot seat. Don't be surprised if they don't start killing us over here in the next year. They know. White men know who the MACD already is. They just don't know where he's at. But they got a great idea. And it's not an Arab. It's not a Saudi. It's an African. African born under Islam, so he knows. But he's representing all Africans. They have an idea. We on the hot seat. We going to get prosecuted. As Muhammad said, Farrakhan said, it's going to be like fire on our heels. We truly going to be a persecuted people. because of who's coming for us. This MACD is coming to help us. He's coming to judge our enemies. We either gonna be with him or on the white, on the on my side.
Man, thank God, praise the people of Allah. Well, I'm going to now come to you, Sister Diatoma.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. It's the same question.
Yes, can you go ahead and repeat it, and then I'm going to go into it. I just want to make sure I
the same question. What is the reason that we as a people have no love for self?
I do want to address Sister Richardson when she said as far as what a Muslim is. I just want to give clarification to her and also your listening audience as far as what a Muslim is. When we translate that into the English dialogue, basically all we're saying is Muslim is one who submit their will to the will of Allah. So a real Muslim is a real Christian. If a real Christian is following the teachings and the guidance of Jesus as well too, because Jesus was a righteous man and he was a Muslim because he submitted his will to the will of Allah. So you might have people out there that say, I am Christian, I am Muslim, I am Jew, I am Buddhist, I am this. But if they're not living the teachings that the prophets and the messengers brought and living them to the highest of existence, then they are not in accord with Allah or God. You know, that's our biggest barrier. And that does also tie into what you were saying. Our biggest barrier is that Satan was from the light. So Satan know of the light. And Satan understand what he did when he added sex, S-E-T-S, to religion. He confused. God is one God, and his religion is obey me, period. That's it. That's all. We decided to put different things and different situations on it, but our Quran teaches us that they all was righteous men and they all was Muslim. So people that call themselves Muslim overseas that's over there killing people, they are not Muslim. They just falsifying the name of what a Muslim is and what Islam is and what a true Christian is. Same thing when they came, let's go back to the Crusades, when they came and they killed in the name of Christianity or in the name of Christ, and they used the cross as a weapon for them to conquer. So they was not real Christians because they came with war. Jesus was not of that statue. He was a Muslim. Now God said, fight those that fight you, but be not the aggressor. But we know that they was never that. They came, they killed, they destroyed, they took land, and they raped and murdered children. Now, going into the mind, just wanted to really clear that up really quick. Going into the mind of why we cannot love one another. We cannot love one another because we was taught to hate one another. We was taught, especially here in Black America, we was taught, we was taking away our culture, we was taken from our religion, we was taken away from our land, we was taken away from the knowledge of who we were, how we was in ground, and who we were supposed to be. Now, it was written, this was written that this was to happen when he told Abraham, I always refer back to that, your seed would be in a land not of their own for 400 years, and then after that, I will come. God said, I will come. The Mahdi is here. Now he's going to come. He's still to come. He's here. That's why we see the confusion and the chaos is going on right now. So God is going to make us so dissatisfied and so hatred of what's going on with this world that he's going to take us. He's going to take us and say, you know what, enough is enough, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to finally unify and come together as one nation under God, and we're going to obey. He said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He didn't say the Muslim knee going to bow, the Christian knee going to bow, the Jew knee going to bow. He said every knee going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that I am Lord. And then after that, I'm going to destroy what was, and it will never be again. For 600 years, America is prophesied to burn, and then for 300 years, it's going to be prophesied to go off. Because he said, never again will anything like this on the face of the earth live. So the love that we have for one another, unfortunately, is a hatred love, that it was ingrained in us from our genetic coding from birth. We was told to hate the lighter, but love the lighter, but treat the darker better.
we was told to rise the female but hate the male. We was told to castrate the male but let the woman be the head. We was told all these things, but then they say, okay, let these niggas go. Excuse my French, but it is what it is. Let these niggas go. Let them do what they're going to do, and let them be who they want to be, because you know what? We tired of them. Even though we didn't took away their culture, their name, their God, their everything, we tired of them now. And you know what? We tired of them complaining. So God said that we, the children of Israel, is going to have to be punished for Pharaoh's sin as well, because we won't let go. Listen, Lazarus, rise. Get away from the rich man's table. We have become alive in God. God came to raise us. He said, I can put you on the top of the mountain, black woman. Black woman, I will put you on the top of the mountain, and I will make you gods of the nations. Not the nation, the nations. Because in the black man and woman is the genetic coding to change the whole universal thought of what God is trying to do. So we as black people got to understand who we are. Stop hating on one another. The messenger said, stop wanting criticism of our businesses. Stop hating on your brother and sister. Come together, unite. The biggest problem with black people is that we'll come together for injustice, but then we go home the next day and nothing. We got millionaires among us, millionaires. Tell me why our black communities and schools closing. Tell me why. We got millionaires among us, and there's people in the black community that's hungry. We got millionaires and teachers and doctors among us, and they look down on us. Oprah Winfrey said it was she took it out of everybody's mouth when she said what she said. I'm not helping these niggas do nothing. These niggas don't want to do nothing. They ain't trying to do nothing, and I ain't trying to help them. But yet you will go overseas and you will help a community that don't even belong to you. Who raised you up, black woman? Who got you up on your feet? Was it not you doing a journalism in your black community, living off the back of our poorness, of our drama that raised you to the positions that you are? Or did you forget that? What about you, athlete? Was it not us that cheered you on, that bought your shoes, that did this and did that for you to raise to where you are? Why are you not helping us in our community? You give little trinkets. Oh, he got a trinket here, he got a trinket there. But yet, you're not helping the situation. You're hindering the situation. Ah, you could be like me. You could have what I have. You could have this materialistic thing. But you're not teaching the masses how to be other than themselves. Come on, black men and women. We got to learn how to love one another. We got to learn how to lift one another. We got to learn how to communicate with one another and unify. Get away from these titles, because that's our biggest issue. A black man gets a title. I'm a doctor this, or I'm a lawyer this, and I'm a this and that. You still a nigga. In the end of the day, when it's all over with and it's all said and done, you still a nigga. You just a high-paid nigga. And when you stop being a high-paid nigga and realize you a nigga and rise up to be a god, because the gods don't look at titles. The gods look at love, the inferiority of his people, and he trying to help his people. So as soon as we stop looking at titles and we start looking at the mindset that we need help to get up out of the conditions that we are in, the state that we are in, that's when God is going to, he said, I change not the condition of a people until they first change their own condition. So when he see us coming together and unifying, then he's going to say, you know what, come on, children of Israel, go across that Red Sea. Now, Pharaoh, touch him if you want to, because now I'm on the scene, and then I'm going to come destroy you, because now they understand who their God is. They understand that I'm trying to lead them into something way better, and now I want you to dare touch them. And that's the problem with us. We just need to unify, come together, know that who we are, and know that God is leading us into a better condition. Praise be to Allah.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Right? Now, I'm going to switch up just a little bit, because our time is really getting away from us. But all praise is due to Allah. I mean, the message is getting out, and that's what's key. So I'm going to ask you, Brother Daniel, this next question, and if you want to speak to the last question, fine. However, this is the question I'm directing to you. Why are so many people ruled by emotionalism, religious dogma, and superstition?
Brother Kareem? Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir.
I'll be honest with you, dear brother. I was not even paying attention. I had the phone on mute, and I was doing something else entirely, brother. you call, I just heard you call my name. But let me give that some thought, man. Come back to me. I had something I had to do while I was a star. I said, well, I'll listen. But I really got sidetracked. You know, I got preoccupied. My granddaughter's here, and she was holding my attention at that time while you were talking, while the show was going on in the last 5 minutes or so. Can you come back to me, brother? I just got to tighten up something, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Brother Daniel.
Yes, sir.
I'm Legum.
Legum Slam, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. Did you hear the question, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
To just give a response to the last question, you said superstition.
So many people fooled by emotionalism, religious dogma, and superstition.
I think it ties into the. I think the reason why people move by emotionalism, you said religious dogma, superstition. That's true because of just like any other aberration is caused by either you have either erroneous data or insufficient data. And whenever we have erroneous data or insufficient data, when you have lack of knowledge, then that opens up the way for superstition simply because you just don't have enough information. And that's the superstition part. If you don't know the law of cause and effect, and you've been taught to eat other than yourself and to be other than yourself, and it's certain information that's been deprived from you. It's the light from the sun has been removed from your mind. Then that leads to superstition. That it leads to emotionalism and religious. You said, what was that second one you said? You said religious dogmatism?
Religious dogma, yes, sir.
Yeah, that comes from really lack of knowledge itself. Because I think within our rules of Islam, it makes it very, very simple. Messenger made everything real simple, really. But in those original rules, it don't leave room for all these different categories like all these different nationalities, all these different religious sects. When they ask who is the original man, he just says, who is the original man, who is the colored man? He just broke the whole planet down, all these different countries down to just two categories. Either original or you colored. And so the only religions, either obey God or you disobey God. It's either righteousness or wickedness. And when you don't have a standard for righteousness, and you don't have knowledge yourself, then that leaves room for all these different dogmas, and simply because you don't have a mathematical theology, and that's the reason why we weren't given a dogmatic theology. We was given a mathematical theology, because 2 + 2 = 4, no matter what you call yourself, no matter where you go. You don't have all these different little sects because it's either 2 + 2 = 4 or it's not. The answer is right or it's wrong. And that will end it right there, but just having knowledge itself and not these things that impede our self-development like inordinate materialism, sexism, racism, and nationalism, those things that keep us from the true essence of who we are. It keeps us from polytheism or keeps us from unity, because the true essence of myself is the true essence of you and the true essence of her and Lapuka and Junebug and them, because that essence is God. So we all God having a human experience, and the only thing that separates us is our different set of experiences, our different backgrounds and things of that nature. So in our rules and instruction, matter of fact, you don't even have age is not even the same way because there's no birth record to the said nation of Islam. So really, all of us about 78 trillion years old plus. Once we understand that it makes us all of the same age, because all of us are one. All of us are connected to that same Godhead, so to speak. And just by knowing that, that keeps us from being other than ourselves. So when we, I think that would to answer. Could you ask that question one time? You said the first part of the question.
Why are so many people ruled by emotionalism, religious dogma, and superstition?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you emotionalism rules simply because you don't have a logical thought to feed it, the emotion. The emotion is a beautiful thing. So it's not that the emotion is bad. It's that when we don't rise above the emotion into the thinking of God. Because emotion is the key to bring things into reality. Emotion is equivalent to that feminine part of ourself, which is the equivalent to that God part of ourselves. So it takes both. But it's when you have that aspect within self is equivalent to what's going on in the family. As within, so without. So within, you got that captain passed order to the lieutenant, and the lieutenant teaches and trains the private soldiers. So you got that male, the captain, plus the lieutenant feeds the order to the private soldiers within ourselves. So within our families, the same thing that happened on the Willie Lynch syndrome is the same thing that goes on within self that feeds that emotionalism. So within the man, within on the family, Willie Lynch exalted the role of the female and had to checkmate the king. He had to kill the king, silence the king, and exalt the role of the female. So that picture is played out within ourselves. When you kill the logical thought, you kill the correct, accurate data, then that leaves room for emotionalism because the female is exalted within ourselves. That emotion part is exalted in ourselves above the logical thought. So that leads to emotionalism because the logical thought has been killed. But you have to have both. You have to have the yin and the yang. The logical thought has to feed the emotions. And the more emotion we add to the logical thought, we bring that into reality. Then that word can become bond. So that and that emotionalism, that's funny how it's all connected. Because Indians had the land, they called the land the Mother Earth. The Mother Earth is like the emotion part. But without the right farmer to cultivate the earth, without the farmer to cultivate the woman or the emotions, then you're just left with emotionalism, which you don't have nothing. The land is not used for nothing. And if it's not used, it's going to be the law of usage set in place. If it's not used, somebody else is going to take it and use it. Just like they say with your muscles, if you don't use it, you lose it. So with ourselves, we lost ourselves because we got emotions, and somebody else been pimping us, been using emotions to pimp us. And so since we wasn't using it, somebody else is using us. Since we ain't programming ourselves, somebody else is programming ourselves. And that's the reason why we have a Muslim program, to reprogram ourselves so we don't be programmed, so we could be reprogrammed and have a renewing of the mind of our thinking. But to answer it again, that part about aberrations, it comes from either insufficient data or erroneous data that's producing the aberrations and that's producing that type of emotionalism, which is like the woman being exalted and the man being destroyed, and which sets up this the stereotypes. That was my answer.
Yes, sir.
That was my response to that.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, let me make a statement here myself. based upon, and honestly, I'm making an observation, not necessarily a statement, but based upon the answers that have been given to the question so far, let me say this, and then, you know, coming off of something that you were saying. Like I said, our subject is lead with your own mind. And the idea is that what's going on is from what the panelists have said and what we can see as evidence in the world today at this point in time. This world is dying a natural death. The God is on scene, and he's bringing about the death of this world. Now, that being the case, we all have to make a decision. Do we want to die with this world, or do we want to go into the new world? And if we decide that we want to go into the new world, that means we got to leave this world. Now, that being the case, that's why our subject is leave with your own mind. But you can't enter the new world if you are yet carrying the thinking and the behavior of this world. That's why we're talking about leave with your own mind. At the end of the day, you mentioned earlier, Brother Daniel, I mean, also, all the panelists have talked about the fact of how we will come into organizations, or we come into any movement, any type of movement away from this. However, we're yet clinging to aspects of this world. We're clinging to those things which are negative, things that some people have become comfortable with. And if we don't get our own mind, and I want to share you with the panelists and with the listening audience, I also want to remind the listening audience that if you have a question or comment, please press 1 on your dial pad. Come on into the conversation. We definitely want to hear your input. You're in the chat room. Please type in your question or comment, and I will make sure that if you want it to be shared, then I will share it. But now, as I said, our topic is leave with your own mind. Leave is defined as to have remaining after one's death, to cause to remain as a trace or after effect, to go away, or to go away from, permission to do a thing. With is defined as in the performance, operation, or use of, from the Sanskrit vi, apart, and mind is defined as recollection, memory, the element or complex of elements in an individual that feels, perceives, thinks, wills, and especially reasons, intentions, desire, and from the Greek, it says spirit, O-W-N, or own, belonging to oneself, to possess, to have power over, or mastery over. Now, that having been said, I want to come to you, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. All praises be to Allah. I see somebody else. I'm going to tap them in just a moment. I'm like I said, with our time being as it is, I mean, if you want to address the other questions, fine. But the question I wanted to address to you is this. When it is said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In your view, what does this mean? And we know that man, when we say man in this instance, we're talking about man and woman, the human being.
Mm-hmm. It means exactly what it says. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And without elaborating too deeply because of the time, Brother Kareem, you know, a lot of people can put on facades. A lot of people can say that they believe. However, everything that you do represents your character. Your character represents your faith and what you actually carry into practice. That builds your character. So for you to say that you're Muslim, but you act like a savage, there's something going on in your mind. There's something at the core of you that projects what you really think. So is very simple. I don't know how else to expound on it. It's very simple. You know, as you think, that's what you project. It's a three-step method. You think it, you feel it, then you do it. And so, you know, as it relates to the condition of our people today, a lot of people say they represent this, thus, and so, but what they demonstrate is what's actually in their hearts, actually what is on their minds. And so when we have our open enemy that we can see, we can drive through the suburbs and see the white people that, you know, that are sentencing our young black men to life in prison for no reason at all. We can see the George Zimmermans of the world going into the church as if they really think in their heart that they're fooling someone. And it's not true. It's all a facade. So whatever you're really thinking in your mind, that's what you are. I don't care how many lies you tell yourself. I don't care how many times you hit the prayer rug and say, hey, I'm a good Christian, I'm a good Muslim. If you are not in an elevated thinking, if you are not in the mindset of Allah, then you are contrary to it, and that's what you really are. Bottom line, plain and simple, it's nothing difficult. It's not mad science. You know, so that's a short answer to that one, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. All praises be to Allah. Right. We're coming down to it. And I haven't gotten a response yet. However, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire this up anyway because I want to direct this other question to this young man. He didn't have his hand up, but I'm going to put his hand up anyway. Area code 706, your mic is live.
Yes.
Is that my brother Eddie?
Yeah.
Brother Eddie?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
I was like, did I get volunteered? But
I volunteered, brother.
Yes, sir. and apologies for not joining the family earlier. I was discovering some things about raising children, so I was telling another critique earlier, so not everything's okay, but can you repeat the question for me, brother, please?
I have a question I have for you. It's not the same one. How, if you want to address
I'm here to serve, brother. Whatever.
Praise be to Allah. Now, you know our subject is leave with your own mind.
Yes, sir.
All right. So the question I want to address to you is, what is your own mind?
In our supreme wisdom lessons, we learn that our own self is a righteous Muslim. Now, sister, we have a diatoma we don't allow with us, right?
Yes, sir.
She put it very well. A Muslim is one who submits their will to do the will of God. A good Muslim is the good Christian. We are in accord. But you would think that that alone would be righteousness. But it says righteous Muslim, one who rightly submits. And what is to rightly submit? To totally submit, to give your complete self. We're almost like we're saying it twice. Righteous Muslim is a term that's redundant. But we live in a world that is so completely opposite, totally opposite, that we have to have that language seems to give us a need for that total emphasis on that being rightly and totally submitting. Why is that? I'm going to give an example out of like my own life. And I, in a way, I'm kind of sharing my faults as I say this, but it's when I was coming back to the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and resubmitting myself to this and coming up out of the world, I didn't have many people around or anyone really around with me. I had grown estranged from my parents, and I had, did not know where. I did not have any of the believers around me. I didn't find them until later. And the only thing that I knew to do was just to give up everything that I thought, everything that I was doing, and just focus solely on the word, to not think proactively, because in this world we're conditioned to think another way. We don't know our own mind, and we can't trust our own thinking. We have to give ourselves totally to the guidance of the God through the man of God in our presence. If you study how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad shaped the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the way he would whoop him and the other ministers, and as he said, even if you thought that you didn't deserve it, he wanted you to take it so you could, so he could see if you were humble enough to take and to handle, even if you thought you didn't deserve. 2012 Savior's Day, he was whooping the believers, and he said, "Don't say nothing, just take it, because there's a lesson to be learned." That's the kind of, we are so far removed from our own mind that that's the kind of conditioning that we need. We need, that's why the book says that, well, rather we learn, because I can't recall the scripture, so I'm not going to pretend to quote it, but, well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, teaching won't save us. A whooping is going to save us. Because we have to be, we've been whooped out of our mind, and we have to be whooped back in, not just spiritually and through life struggles, but also physically. That's why the Bible gives us, allows us to have to go through these plagues with the enemy, even though we're the chosen people. We have to be totally kicked out of it. Our mind is so far gone, even to the little interactions that we have with one another, which I think the sister was saying earlier. But we don't know how to interact with one another, even on a one-on-one basis, not even to mention developing our community, but even on a one-on-one basis, our minds are so gone. So we have to submit to a total guidance. So we are taught in the Nation of Islam that we don't come up with nothing of ourselves. We express our understanding, but we quote the messenger, we quote the minister, and we go into that understanding. We give up our mind. Paul said, "I die daily for the Lord." So when we talk about having our own mind, brother, I really don't know what that is. I'm 478 years removed from my own mind. The only mind that I know is, as the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, the same as it was in Christ Jesus." And who was Christ Jesus? He's the man who's made up into the Father. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said, he is made up into Master Farad Muhammad. And Minister Farrakhan is made up into him. Well, he is our God, and we have to be made up into them. Because Master Farad Muhammad said that he came to make us like him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "We become God. We don't need him anymore." Because we have to, he is the prototype. He is who our mind is supposed to be. We don't have any idea. We haven't even begun to submit to grow into that. Because our productivity and our activity demonstrate how far we are from our own mind. What is mind? Mind is the result of an active working brain. And the person said he lost his mind. He's lost his direction. He's lost his focus. He has lost the use of the energy of his mind for productive purposes. But what is the mission that gives us our mind? Well, it was not our mission. It's the mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to raise the dead. So it says that an FOI, Fruit of Islam, the name given to the military training of the men that belong to Islam in North America, says our sole mission, sole means only, exclusive, is the delivery of the 40 or 50 million to the Lamb of God. That mission is a mind.
one word, one mind, one accord. So we give ourselves up to his mind and make his mind our mind because we are so far removed. And you can't trust a sick man to heal himself. He has to submit himself to a doctor. He has to submit himself to the surgeon. He can't remove him. Despite the movies, nobody removes their own bullet. So I guess that's how I would try to answer that question, which is a much, much, much deeper question than I could begin to answer it. But that, I think, is how I would to get that.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. All right. Coming down to it. And again, before we even go any further, I want to thank everybody that joined us. I want to thank everybody that's in the chat room, also that has called in. We're not done yet, but I want to make sure I take the time to thank everybody who took time out of their busy schedule to come and join us this evening on Conscious Black Nation. Our topic tonight is lead with your own mind. And that having been said, I'm going to come to you again, Sister Diana.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I'm down to the last question, and because of our time constraints, this is a question, and it's open for everybody. However, I'm going to direct it to you first, Sister. And that question is, what is right thinking, and how do we obtain it?
You know what? To me, right thinking is positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what right thinking. If you're thinking something positive and you don't have all this negativity and destruction and, you know, and argumental and emotions in your life, then you're going to have right thinking. And if you're eating the right and proper foods, you're gonna, your mind is going to be clear if you ain't got a lot of GMOs and meat and blood in your body. Animal fat and blood. I mean, you got to be thinking straight. And good, you know, rightful think is righteous thinking.
Yes, ma'am.
You got to be righteous to think right.
Yes, ma'am. All right, praise be to Allah. Sister Diatoma, same question to you. This is the last question of the night. It's just the same question to everybody.
Simply answered is being in accord to the will of Allah. Being in accord to the will of Allah, doing what he placed you on this earth to do, being in accord to the will of Allah is righteous thinking to me.
True.
All right. Okay, I have a question or either a comment. I'm going to take it right now. Area code 323, your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum, brother. This is...
Wa alaykum salam.
My name is Abdul Majid Askia. I'm in Palmdale, California. And
yes, sir.
And thank you for inviting. Matter of fact, I listen many times, even though I don't necessarily come in. But in any case, it is said that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when Aisha asked him what was his character, and she said that his character was the Holy Quran. So we believe that the Quran is the word of Allah. It is the living word of Allah. So when we actually take on the mind of the Quran, the thinking of the Quran, and the reasoning of the Quran, and the behavior that it would dictate, that is right thinking. Because it answers all of our questions all the way down to proper diet, our relationship with brothers and sisters and business and family and marriage and even fighting. All the details are there. So if you want to know what God would have you do, it's like if someone hit you upside the head, the Quran say hit him back. If they play dirty, the Quran say catch them out, no works, and they catch you out. And say when they stop, you stop. So you don't even have to go and ask nobody else what you should do or how you should behave, because God has already spoken. There is the right thinking. In the hadith or sayings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it says that the first thing God created was reason. When you don't find it in the Quran or the sayings of the prophet, then you are required to think with your own reason and deduct down from everything that has been revealed or said how you should behave in this given situation and take it from there. But just vain thinking or just thinking out in space when revelation has already been revealed in the Bible and the Quran and all the prophets and sayings and so much knowledge and information that we have, you will have people, some people will say, well, you know, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord what the Lord thinks. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And the Lord then already spoke. The Lord then already told us what to do, how to behave, how to act, how to build, how to organize, how to fight. And if I might say in this last closing thought, and again, thank you so much, my beloved brother, anything that a free man wants, in however way a free man thinks, just like in this country, they think with power, they think with authority, they think with reason, they think that in a given situation they have to kill, they have the right to come in on you, they have the right to make demands, they have the right to take charge. We should be thinking in that same manner, in that same fashion, as free thinkers and as men. Thank you, my beloved brother, and may you all have a blessed and wonderful time. And I'm really so happy that you have this type of program and dialogue going on a regular basis. Thank you so much, brother, and you be blessed.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right, I'm for you, Caesar.
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Yeah, all praise is due to Allah. Like I said, this last question of the night, and it's for everybody. What is right thinking, and how do we obtain it?
Well, you can only think right if, you know, if that's the right grammar, with truth and the knowledge of truth. You know, you might sometimes be thinking what you're thinking is correct, but if you don't have the truth and the evidence to support that the way you think is true, then it's all for naught. So the key to correct thinking is correct knowledge, because if you don't have the correct knowledge, of course, you're not going to have the correct mindset and you're not going to function correctly. So, you know, that's the short answer to it, Brother Kareem. But, you know, we as a people, you know, I listen to everybody tonight, and I don't know, it's just something in my spirit. You know, I think oftentimes we get to a point where we start to judge just a little bit. And we have to understand that everybody has a purpose. And I want to be very clear about this, because I think a lot of people get this whole thing twisted. When you're talking about the unification of black people, That's a good vision. That's almost like the vision of Martin Luther King when he said, I had a dream. Well, he had a dream, but we living in a nightmare that we can't ever seem to wake up from. So when we start claiming our people, you better know who your people are. And I say this all the time, it's so far beyond black and white. It is so far beyond that. Yes, the devil in his essence has an identity, but more than a physical identity, he has a mental and a spiritual identity that we have become so oblivious to, because we all caught up in color. So, you know, I think that sometimes we expect too much out of a particular people. There is a particular black people, but if you are willingly conforming to the way that is contrary to God, just because your skin is black, that don't mean you are of God's people. We need to stop getting that twisted, because
is the epitome of patience. However, he said in the beginning of his 52-week series that we are to enjoin one another to patience and enjoin one another to truth. I don't have a problem enjoining anyone to truth. I can be patient with those who are seeking truth, but what I am not patient with is foolishness, especially when you're willfully foolish. So we can't always just be thinking about a people when it comes to color. And I know the minister has said many times that when we talk about devil, you know, we need to stop, you know, we need to stop using the baby language that the white man is the devil. That was for a time, that was for a season. But, of course, we all know, as the minister has taught us, the devil is deceptive intelligence. Does deceptive intelligence have a particular color, or does he have a particular character? And that's my comment, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. Thank you. So, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Salaam alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, like I said, we got 13 minutes, brother. So tell me.
Yes, sir.
Encapsulate for me, what is right thinking and how do we obtain it?
And I'm enjoying all the beautiful answers that I've heard thus far. Was very, very thorough. And,
yes, sir.
Right. And as we taught in Dianetics, that the analytical mind thinks perfectly, calculates perfectly. And it's that reactive mind that bases everything based off if we have inadequate data or insufficient data, like I said earlier. Whenever we have insufficient data or inadequate data, we can't think rightly. It's not that we're not calculating rightly. It's just that the information we have is either inadequate or it's not, or it's erroneous, should I say. I mean, a correction. Or it's erroneous data. But like somebody said earlier, once we get the proper information, once we get the proper actual facts, then we can make our analytical mind, we can make the proper assessments and we can think rightly once we're not aberrated and once we don't have these engrams that come from all different type of sources. Some of it comes from food choices. Some stuff comes from toxics in our environment, from drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, illegal drugs that we took earlier, stuff that's coming from the environment. All these things can affect our thinking. But when we clear of those elements, those aberrations, those engrams or things of that nature, then we can think rightly. And that's basic. And all of what I'm saying is some of the stuff I kind of heard already. But right thinking is when we're thinking in accord with our nature, with the nature which Allah has created us in. So, and when we're free from all those elements that keeps us from right, I mean, from those poisonous elements, then we're able to think rightly. But that's basically it. So that just in addition, that's just basically in addition to what I've already heard thus far.
Okay. Wow. Sir, thank you. Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. Same question to you, brother. What is right thinking and how do we obtain it?
As Minister Farrakhan said, righteousness is being in accord with the modern, up-to-date will of God. That modern, up-to-date will of God comes through a modern, up-to-date and present man, and being in line with that present man and his instruction, and following those instructions, is right and righteous thinking. And that man today is none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It does not mean that you become a registered member of the Nation of Islam, but what it does mean is that we follow that guidance that we might actually fulfill what is prophesied that we would fulfill and be a part of that fulfillment and not be on the side of the losers in the language of the Holy Quran, which is those who reject the guidance and those who take the side of the enemy who is already doomed to and currently seeing his destruction. So that's why I'll leave that, bro.
Again, I definitely want to thank everyone in the listening audience, everyone in the chat room, everyone on the panel.
Brother Kareem, I'm so sorry, but we're having some real interference. I don't know if someone on the mic is outside, but we're having like a wind sound, and the sound is really distorted.
Okay, stop now.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And like I said, again, I want to thank everyone that is participating. The panel, everyone that has called in, everyone in the chat room for participating in our topic tonight, which is lead with your own mind. And on that note, the last question was, what is right thinking and how do we attain it? I want to share with everyone from the Holy Quran Sharif. It's in chapter 21 entitled The Prophets. And it's ayah or verse 18, where it states, "Nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood, so it knocks out its brain, and lo, it vanishes. And woe to you for what you describe." The main focus here is when it says, "Nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood, so it knocks out its brains." And the thing is that brain, mind, all working together. And the thing is as we knew, as mentioned earlier, we are living in a time and we are living in a place that it's time for us to get up out of here. It's time for us to leave. And as was mentioned by everyone on the panel at some point and in some aspect, everyone that's been on tonight, it is the fact that we've got the movement, we've got the mosque, we've got the church, we've got these organizations. However, for some reason, after all this time, with all this information, we still have not gotten to the point where we have taken the power that God has given to us. We are yet allowing people and things that are weaker than us to rule over us. According to, Webster, the dictionary, the word sanity is defined or described as a sound state of mind, the ability to absorb facts and information, reason them, and make proper decisions. That's what sanity is described as. Insanity is described as an unsound mind, a sick mind. Insanity is defined as lack of the ability to think straight. So with everything that we have discussed tonight, it seems to me that what we are suffering from is a state of insanity. We're not able to think right. I'm not saying everybody that's on this panel. I'm not saying everybody that's on the planet. However, from the actions that people are taking or the lack thereof, it seems evident that insanity is prevalent. So when we are insane, as my brother Eddie mentioned earlier, they talk about, you heard the term, that person lost their mind. Also, we will call people crazy or we'll call them insane. Another way of saying that is he or she is out of their mind. Well, we know that the body cannot operate without a mind. When I'm out of my mind, the question I have to ask myself is, whose mind is operating me? And what must I do to get into my own mind? We had talked about the scripture, we read scripture, and yes, ultimately, God, just as the human body must heal itself, nothing I put on it, nothing I put in it will heal. The body itself is the mechanism that has to heal itself, so it is with the mind. However, I have to have the proper ingredients placed in the body, the proper ingredients placed in the mind for it to affect that healing. Our topic, Lead With Your Own Mind, simply is about this. It's the fact that it is time for us, as our subject was last week, separate or die. It is time for us to leave this world. And I'm not talking about dying because, honestly, I'm going to tell you, I pray a lot I can be around another 200 years on the planet. That's not what I'm talking about. But leaving this world means that to get away from this suffering, to get away from the oppression, to get away from the racism, to get away from the self-hate that I experience from my own people. That's what I'm talking about when I say leave this world. But in order for me to be able to leave this world first, the first thing I must do is get my own mind back. In my own behavior, I have noticed, even though I study, even though I pray, in my own behavior, I have noticed times when I will behave just like the people that, quote, unquote, we're supposed to be struggling to save. But what that says to me is there's still a lot of work to be done. I got to get my own mind. And my own mind is going to come from the scripture. However, it's also going to come from, more so I believe, association with people who have like minds, who have like goals, who are struggling and striving for the same things that I am, freedom, justice, and equality. That having been said, we got a little under 3 minutes left in the show. What I want to do is, Queen Aziza, if you wouldn't mind giving us the lineup for the rest of the week, and then we'll take any final comments.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, join us tomorrow right here at 8 p.m. Central, and we will have Out on the Front Line with Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia. I forgot what his topic was. He's going to kill me. But he'll be right here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. And join us Wednesday for DJ Black Caesar and Friends. He's going to have some new mainstream artists on his show, so you don't want to miss that. That's at 7 p.m. Central. Join me, yours truly, Thursday at 8 o'clock, and I'll let you know what the title is sometime this week. And on Friday, join Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida, as he will bring on Student Minister Tony Muhammad from the Western Region, Muhammad Mosque number 27 in Los Angeles, California. And, of course, they're going to be talking about the Freedom Riders of Los Angeles as well as the time and what must be done, part 29. And on Saturday, oh, please do not forget, and all of you who may have children or teenagers, if you're interested in learning about the history of the Nation of Islam, we're doing part two of an evening with Student Minister Demetric Muhammad, who did a beautiful, beautiful program last week, expounding on the history of the Nation of Islam, as well as his journey with the research team for the Nation of Islam and for Minister Farrakhan personally. He's going to do a roundtable with the youth next Saturday, 8 p.m. Central, right here. And he's going to have a youth panel, and we're going to let our babies ask questions as well as learn about the history of the Nation of Islam. These are stories that have not been been told either in a long time, and certainly anyone who's under 25 or 30 years old might not have even heard this history, so you don't want to miss that. And, of course, on Sunday, join us at 6:30 p.m. Central with Brother Vernon Muhammad of Columbia, Maryland, as he talks about No Romance Without Finance. That's economic development, of course. And, again, we'll be right back here next Monday at 8 p.m. Central with Brother Kareem. And I don't know if he's going to give a sneak peek of the topic for next week, but we'll be right back here with Conscious Black Nation. Brother Kareem, are you going to enlighten us, or do we have to wait?
You don't have to wait because Allah haven't given it to me yet. I have no idea what we're going to be discussing next week. However,
all praise is due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Again, I want to thank Sister Diana Richardson, Sister Diana
yes.
Clarity. Yes, ma'am. I want to thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of your busy schedule to come and be with us on Conscious Black Nation. Please, we don't want this to be, I know this is your first time, but we don't want this to be your last time.
All right.
The insight right on point. Yes, ma'am. I want to thank Sister Diatoma Clarity, as always. On
thank
point.
You,
sir. On
point. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Brother Daniel Muhammad, I believe we lost Brother Daniel, but thank you, my brother, for always coming in, taking care of business. We also lost student minister James Muhammad. I want to thank him also for his participation. Brother Eddie X, alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, brother, for your constant participation. I appreciate that. And as we have come down to the end of the show, as always, like I said, here on Conscious Black Nation, the idea is not to just discuss a problem or not to just get negative or have one of those kind of sessions, if you will. The idea is for us to identify whatever the issue or the problem is and then offer practical solutions, application of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, application of the Word of God, if you will, so that in our lives each and every day we have something we can use. Because if I can't use what I've got to address any issues that are in my life, in my daily life, then it's useless to me. As always, remember, the thought is the act is the fact. We either participate or we dissipate. I want to leave you as I came with the greeting words of peace and paradise in the Arabic language. We said, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam,
sir.